but how they lived. Oh, I'm on a nerve now. You see, it's not about what we say. It's what we do with what we say. Jesus had the disciples not even a year. Oh, by the way, don't take no purse with you. Matter of fact, don't even put no backpack together. Nothing. Don't even take all those little Krispy Kreme donuts with you. Don't take nothing and go. How much time did they spend with him? No. Not at the beginning. Not even a full year. He did a few miracles. And he said, go. I'm going to send you out like lambs before the slaughter. I'm not ready. I didn't finish my course. I didn't get my certificate. I didn't get my minister's card. I wasn't recognized before the council. I wasn't brought before the elders in order for me to say that I am the selected, elected one to go. No, he said, don't take nothing. Go. Matter of fact, if they don't receive you, dust your sandals off and move on. But once you get into a house that receives you, don't move. You don't leave just because you don't like what they're feeding. You stay put. Everybody jumping from church to church. He says, you want to make church your way? Make it all messy. Better get a whole bunch of napkins because you're going to make it messy. Or do you want it the way that are originally ordained it to be? I said, Lord, I done got my whooping. I haven't even just got to my next light yet. I said, Lord, why am I getting in trouble for? He said, you're going to repent? I'll repent. I'm sorry. What am I repenting for? What did I do? Come on. Be honest. Because sometimes you just start repenting. Lord, forgive me of all the sins I've done. I should have never looked at that truck and desired it like I did. But it's all right to have vision, right? Yeah, but make sure it's my vision, not yours. I said, man, I'm getting a whooping every time I'm talking to God lately. He says, I chastise those I love. I said, but God, how come nowadays when you chastise someone, they leave? Where was their heart? If their heart was with man, that's why people leave. But if their heart was with God, they should know to stay. You want church of now or church of then? I want church of then. Get your Bibles. Jeremiah 6:16. Those of you that just tuned in on the podcast, Pastor Marty at the House of Manna just got his whooping from the Lord. And so right as they're laughing and you're laughing on this podcast, you are too. It is a blessing to have everyone here tonight. I promise that the Lord will speak to you in ways with love, admiration for his child that you are, and speak good things to you, to encourage you, to uplift you, and to get you to where you need to be. Amen. Jeremiah 6, verse 16, New American Standard Version reads like this. Thus saith the Lord, stand by the ways and seek and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. It's in the Word. Am I reading something that's not in your Bible? Maybe it goes differently. Someone have a different version? Go ahead. Tell me what you have, Renee. Hold on. I want it on the podcast so people can hear that Pastor Marty is not pulling something and asking something different.
The Living Bible. Just a minute. Yet the Lord pleads with you still. Ask what the good road is, the godly paths used to walk in the days of long ago. Travel there, and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that is not the road we want.
That is not the road we want. Who wants it? Oh, we want it a little bit different. We want to have 15 screens all the way across. We want to have all of these monitors in case the babies are crying. We want to have make sure that the teenagers have their own sanctuary. We want to make sure that all the infants have their own place to be. We want to make sure that when I come in to a place that everything fits my needs. I don't ask for all those things myself. You heard me plead and ask God for them. He says, why don't you ask for me to be in your presence? I said, Lord, I thought I was. He says, no, you're asking amiss. You want it so that you can be glorified. No, I don't want to be glorified. God. Now I'm arguing with God like he doesn't know what I'm thinking. He says, you want something so you can say, look at what you have built. I said, Lord, is that why it's been a struggle? I want to get into that place of rest. What did he say just on Sunday? Huh? Rest, sleep in it. The way you don't get there is by being disobedient. But by being obedient, you find rest. I said, Lord, I want to make sure that I get that rest. He says, then your only concern is to do it the way I've ordained it to be. Don't ask for it your way. Do it my way. So let us ask for the old ways of the Lord. Let us ask for the old ways of the Lord, the ancient ways. Let us seek rest for our souls by his ancient ways, where the power of God is very present in time of need. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to that point where I want to make everybody feel like this is the new and in thing to do. So let's get to that church. I want it to be what was declared over this house. They'll know what to do. Take the demoniac over there. Take the one that is struggling with alcohol and drugs. Take them over there. They'll know what to do because they have the heart of God in mind first. I said, Lord, I want to be that church. He says, then don't focus on anything else but me. I said, Lord, but life. He goes, oh, really? Life? Let me give you more and more abundantly. This life is already hard, God. He goes, you're not resting in me. You're delaying in what I'm telling you to do. That's a hard word, isn't it? But wait a minute, God. I'm the pastor. You know, like we kind of throw our title that way. I'm the pastor. I'm the evangelist. I'm the apostle. Yeah, you ain't nothing without me. I said, okay, God. Like a baby sucking his thumb. Goo goo gaga. Speak to me. Turn to Hebrews 4:14, please. Hebrews 4. Verses 14 through 16. I'm going to read this out of the Berean Study Bible. Hebrews 4:14-16. If you're asking how come I didn't have slides, because God gave me this on the way to church. So, amen. Hebrews 4:14-16. Berean Study Bible reads this wise. Therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we profess. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who is tempted in every way that we are, yet he was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When I read that, I was like, Lord, I can't even come to you and tell you. You don't understand. You don't know what, okay, wait a minute, you do. You don't, yes, you do. It's like everything you want to go and tell God as your excuse. You're like, go down what I went through. Go through what I went through. You don't like people talking about you. They're going to continue talking about you because it's not about you. It's about me in you. So when they want to pick and nag, and they're just coming to attack me, not you. Take your eyes off of you and fix on him. I said, Lord, you know, we try to do the butt thing. But try to cancel everything that he just told you to do. But like, no. He says, before I formed you, I knew you. I knew what you were going to go through. And I put inside of you what you needed when you were going through it. You just haven't accessed it because you still, because you still want to, well, I'll say it this way because it's a little bit nicer. You still want to reach for the pacifier as opposed to reaching for the meat and trying to get you somewhere where you want things your way. You want it to be like everybody else so that you can say, Lord has blessed me. He's blessed me. I have 8 services on Sunday. 15 campuses across the city. He's blessed me. Hey, success comes from the Lord. I'm not bashing that. But it's when you're saying, look at how and what I. You've taken the focus off of Christ. My wife and I have had these conversations many a times. Why do we do what we do? Do you ask yourself that question? Why do I do what I do? Do I do it for personal gain? Or do I do it to please God? The answer should be the latter, right? But is it easy to please God? How do you have to please him? What does the Bible say? Faith. Faith pleases God. So if you're not going through a storm, does it require faith to get through anything? But when you're going through, it requires faith. I'm pleasing God because I'm in a storm. Do you follow it? I don't need my faith that things are going good. I believe in God. I have trust that, you know, Jesus died for me and my sins. I'm good. But if I'm going through a storm, I need my faith to really get me through. I'm pleasing God now. I'm pleasing God now. What does that faith mean? Is that you're standing firm, believing what you profess. That's what it says right here. Don't just profess it and don't believe it. You have to profess it and know that what you're professing out there is what Christ has put inside of you. He says, since we have, on verse 14, since we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we profess. Is he Christ? Is he Lord? Is he God? We have to believe what we profess. Well, those are not the only names of God. His character is, I am who you need me to be in your season. I will. I am the very will of God that would do what you ask of me. The one that was lame, that was crippled and maimed. He asked him, will you? Can you help me? Didn't even know who he was. Didn't even know who Jesus was. Didn't even know that Jesus was a healer. Didn't even know that he was the Son of God. What can you do for me? Can you even do anything for me? I can and I will. And he didn't even know him. That's a sovereign God. So what does that mean? Why are we going to that scripture? Well, what about when you're going through some things and you don't quite want to do things right with God? Does that disqualify you? No, that only qualifies you for the faith that you need, even the size of the mustard seed, to get them right where you need them. Because faith pleases God. So, Lord, don't let me take my focus off of you. Let me keep it on you. And if every storm that I go through is to keep you closer to me, then listen, we're going to buckle down. We're going to be roommates for a season then. We're going to be real close. Like peanut butter and jelly. You ever put peanut butter and jelly together? Once you put it together, get some peanut butter in the jelly, some jelly in the peanut butter. Right? We're going to be like that. We're going to be tight. So I said, God, I want to be tight with you. You know everything. He says, then I want you to come to me with confidence. Come to me with confidence that you have the right for the grace and the mercy. That when you come to me with confidence, you're coming to my throne. That's what the scripture says right there. And we're praying for his glory. He says, come to my throne. Come to my throne boldly, knowing that what you're professing is already there. Isn't that good? But does it sound good when you're going through? No. Sometimes you don't even want to hear it. I got a word for you. Keep it. The Lord gave me a scripture. I got all of them. I had a dream. Go back to sleep. Come on. You know how we get sometimes when we're going through? We don't want to hear it. We don't want to even hear someone tell us the truth. We know the truth. We're going through. Thank you. I'm going through. Well, you were crying. I cry when I go through. Just pray. You don't even know why. Just pray. Right? Isn't that what you want to tell some of the folks? Really? Yeah, you know you really do. Well, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Since you want to give me a piece of advice. Come on, don't make me work this thing like this. Come on. You know you get to that point. If it's not you, then that's why God says you need to repent. Okay, I'm repenting. I get that way sometimes. People call me and they say, hey, Pastor, I got something I want to tell you. Come again? Yeah, I had this thing, and I know it's in regards to your church. I haven't talked to you in about. Now the Lord so has to speak to you to speak to me concerning. I know what I'm in. You can hold it. Oh, you being disobedient. You being rebellious. No. No, I don't need to hear anything that comes out of your mouth if there's no relationship. And if a relationship be true, we would have tested the time together. And we would have held fast to the relationship. Don't mean we got to talk every day. Don't mean we even have to hang out and have dinner every day. But we do hold each other in regard for who we are. Now I got a word. I'm glad you got one. Come on. I'm just trying to help you because I want you to think about it. If they had done it that way back in the day. Oh, excuse me, Apostle Paul. I got a word for you. Hold on, Jesus. Can I go back to Saul for a minute? Did y'all get that? Can I go back to Saul just for a minute? You got one for me? I think it's best that you just hold that word. Because last I checked, you had a hard time to submitting to the authority of the church. Do you know who that authority is? Me. Hold your word. Huh? Oh, but you're a prophet. Can I introduce you to Jeremiah and Isaiah? They didn't go around saying that they were prophets. They didn't go around saying that they had a word for everybody. They went to the king to speak about a region, to speak out while the region and the territory was coming under attack because of their disobedience. And you got a word for me. Come on. I'm role playing. Calm down. Y'all looking at me like, dang, Pastor, look at you. You getting bitter. You, what do you call that when you getting all salty? I ain't getting all salty. I'm telling you, what would the Apostle Paul do if he was here in this time and age of the church today? If Jesus overturned the money changers table, you know why I don't sell any products? You know why I don't sell any products? Everything that's on podcast is free. Because what Jesus did, And so how you make my father's house a den of thieves? Huh? Can you imagine the Apostle Paul? The one that was killing the Christians? Shoot. Some of y'all looking at me like, Pastor crazy. Pastor crazy. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. That's Apostle Paul. He was a little bit more astute. Oh, Peter, I have a word for you, Peter. What Peter gonna do? Well, you ain't got one ear left, and I'm about to take that other ear from you. You gonna tell me you got a word for me? Okay, come on, think about it. Think about how we have made church and the society and how we act in church nowadays to how it was in the ancient path before. If there was anything that was out of order, Apostle Paul got on his iPad. I am going to email you a letter to the church of Ephesus. Slow connection. Yeah, and then I'm going to register it so when you read it, I know when you read it. And I'm going to blind copy the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about how it is nowadays. We got all this technology. We have everything that we can bring the gospel at a different level to the people, and we still can't get the people to act right. Y'all didn't like that one? Y'all should have been shouting right there. Amen. Mm-hmm. I got one amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'll keep on preaching to the one. But I'm here to tell you. But what if we would have brought the old into this new? And say, you know what? We're going to have a fast. And this is the fast. And you ain't leaving the church until the fast is over. Oh, hold up now. We got the playoffs going on. Fast and pray? I don't think so. What would the church elders of the old do? Oh, don't even get me going. Oh, Lord. And seeing the way people come into church nowadays, bickering and complaining and looking at everybody. Come on. Not in this church. Y'all love everybody. It's great. But, you know, what if they would sit here as the elders of old, sitting in the church of today, come in. Just watch how you interact. Go ahead and fall asleep. It's all right. They fell asleep with Paul too. But they died. He brought them back to life. Don't worry about it. But wait a minute. How long were they in church? Hours and hours. Oh, that was revival. That's why. No, it wasn't. As a matter of fact, they never called it revival. We're just getting started. Oh, you have some place to be? Yeah, it's in the presence of God. Oh, you don't have your word? You don't have your word. You forgot it at home. Oh, you didn't buy one. Come on now, come on. Let's think about it. They're from the old. Coming into the new. They're going to sit here and look at the church of today and say, I know why. They're not experiencing what we call your presence that abode with us. That made people sell their belongings, give to the church, so that not one of them would be in lack. Because they trusted what they professed. Now we can't even get, Imagine the apostles sitting down. Said, we got some empty seats. Get up and go get some people. Go get the people next door from the bar. Bring them in here. Get up. Go over there. Go across the street. Get them out. I don't care if they're eating their nachos. Bring them over here with their nachos. Have them sit down. They want, they're ordering their bubble tea. Get them over here. I got some tea for them. Think about it. What would they do? When they studied with Christ and they studied and they studied, what were they studying? His actions. His actions. He would bring just select. Come with me. Separate from others, but you come with me. And then when I get to where I'm going to go, now you stay there while I go and pray. Why would he say that? Because I need you to see from a distance what I do in private. So it will emulate what I do in public. You'll know where it started from in private. Do you understand? But we can't even get people to pray anymore. I want God to take us back to the old ways, the ancient paths. Lord, put us where we need to be. Amen. The book of Jeremiah is what the prophet would speak to people. And watch this. I'm reading this out of verse 16. It says, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Stand at the crossroads and look. How many of you have ever been at a crossroads? Not the mall, but at a crossroads. And y'all are like, yeah, I've been there in my faith sometimes. I've been there in my trust. The crossroads of your life were, do I continue on with this walk with Christ or do I just get back into the world system? Right? Come on, be honest with yourself, because there's many times that we say, and I think before I've said it before, before you ever came to the Lord, you weren't tempted like this. No, you weren't tested like this either. Uh-huh. Your money wasn't funny. Mm-mm. You had money. And then what you want to start doing is start blaming, well, I've been giving so much to the church. I ain't seen my harvest. I ain't seen this come to pass. I've been going through more stuff since I've been sowing into the church. There's something going on with the pastors because if every time I sow, something happens to me. That ain't had nothing to do with the pastors. That's something to do with what the enemy's trying to take from you. Oh, you got to sow in good ground. You're sowing to God. There is only one soil. God. But what is the trick of the enemy? To make you get to that crossroads and doubt his word so that you don't draw on that word when you need it. He says, you're at the crossroads. Stand at the crossroads and look. What he says right here, ask for the ancient paths. Ask for the old ways. Now, I'm not talking about religious ways. I'm not talking about having all these rituals. I'm talking about doing things the way that were designed for us to do them. Do you understand? Okay, well, what is that design? I'm glad you asked. Proverbs 4, 18 through 19. Proverbs 4, 18 through 19. Just write these down because I'm going to go through. I got about 10 more minutes. Proverbs 4, 18 through 19. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Whew. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My question is, do they know they stumble? They probably don't know, do they? I know when I had mistakes going on in my life when I didn't know Christ, I didn't know it was my stumbling block. I just, that's the way that the dice roll, I guess. Just fell that way for me. But in reality, it's because the path that I choose, I have consequences to what I do in my actions. So here we are now, Psalms 23. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to his name. Psalms 23, 1 through 3. How many of you would like to be led beside the still waters? The way mine reads. Mine. You ready? The Lord is my God. I don't have everything I need, but I have everything that he has me to have. I don't have rest, but if he leads me into his rest, I will rest. I'm not beside the still waters. I am in turbulent waters, but I know he can lead me there. My strength is fading and it is failing fast, but I do trust that he can renew my strength. My paths are not always right, but I do know he can guide me on the right one. My name is not to be honored, but to give him honor to his name. Sometimes how it feels, right? There's no version to that but mine. Because that's sometimes how I feel. I've been going through enough storms, God. I've quoted scriptures every single day. I've gotten up and I begin to pray scripture, 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 and scripture. But I want my still waters. I want my still waters, God. But sometimes it doesn't feel like I'm beside my still waters. Sometimes it feels like I'm in that boat with the disciples for too long. When do I pass my test? When do you come up from beneath and silence the wind? And then I'm to my destiny or my destination. See, when I read the scripture, I know, especially in Psalms, where the psalmist David begins to write, he writes out of his pain. He writes out of his experiences. He writes, how can I say that you're my shepherd without knowing what a shepherd is? But I do know. How can I know that in you I have everything that I need? But there's times where even my kingdom will be stripped, taken. My own children will want to kill me. My own men want to kill me. But I do trust I have everything you want me to have. Think about who's writing it. Think about his life. We want peace? Let's go back to the old ways. Let's trust in God. Let's trust in God. Psalms 25:10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. So does he direct your path every day? Huh? Oh, he directs your steps. The steps of the righteous are ordered by God. He orders your steps. It's up to you to choose to walk those steps. Because if you don't walk on those steps, you're walking your path. And when you walk your path, you don't find mercy and truth. But if you walk his path, doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Because when I see that the mercy is involved, that means you're crying out for mercy. But his path, there's mercy and truth. What is that truth? That truth is his grace. This grace that is giving you the power and provision to obtain his purpose in your life now. The provision for his purpose. So in other words, we got to go through what we're going through so we can obtain what he has for us to do. I was like, Lord, no. The revelation of the pathway is found in Jesus. He's the door, is he not? He says, I'm the door, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. How many times have we gone through a door but we haven't entered all the way in? You know he's called you to do certain things. We just kind of peek through the door. We just kind of peek through the door. But we don't always walk in. But maybe God wants us to quit peeking and just trust and walk in. Because faith isn't seeing. Faith is believing. Then you walk in. And then when you obtain what you're walking into, You've actually walked through without having to know what is there. You're just trusting him. If he's the door, we got to trust him that he's leading us in the right door, the right path. We must put aside our desire for power and gifting and walk in his power and his gifting. Do you understand that? Do you know that your gifts and your talents that you possess right now that he has given you is not for you to go and just show that you can discern, you can deliver, you can prophesy, you can preach. That's not what it's there for. It is there to bring honor and glory to him. Do you understand? Honor and glory to him. Those gifts are not your gifts. They're his gifts. Why does he give gifts to his people? For his purpose, right? Ancient paths. Ancient paths. Do you think the Apostle Paul asked for him to be blinded, be thrown off his horse, to look up, say, I can't see, but I see? If he's blind, how did he see him? Do you think that he would want to go and trust in the ones to take care of him, the ones he was about to kill? How many people come against you and God tell you to trust them anyways? Maybe I need to say it again. How many times have people come against you, but God says, trust them anyways? Yeah, you're going to have people come against you. And those same ones that came against you, God's going to use to help you. See, because in today's church, you offend me, we no longer brothers and sisters. But in the old church, if you offended me, I had to go to you and tell you, you have offended me. You have said something that has wounded me or hurt me. I need you to know that. That scripture tells us. That's what scripture says. Oh, you don't want to forgive me for even asking you to letting you know that you have wounded me, and you want to hold that offense? Scripture says go to the elders with the individual. Come on, don't you say, come on. No, I'm just playing by. Come on. And then you go to the elders, and guess what the elders say? You need to forgive, you need to make this right with your brothers. Right now. No. Oh. You don't want to make it right? Come with me. Stand in front of the church. We're putting you out. Because you don't want to listen. You don't want to submit to the ways of God. You see, we think it's the ways of man. It's the ways of God. What would happen if we were to do that today? Alphas, you can't go to the house of manna because they're going to put you out. You can't go to the house of manna because if you even look at them funny, they're going to tell you you looked at them funny. That's what Bible says to do. You have something against me for wearing what I'm wearing? Then I think you need to. You go to the individual and you tell them, if there's a problem here, we need to fix it. Because if we don't fix it, your prayers aren't heard and my prayers aren't heard. Oh, Lord. Lord. Didn't we just have a letting go kind of altar call on Sunday? I ain't letting go, Carla. I'm playing. Just playing. I know you're responding to the question. I understand. But what if the elders of the old were to step in and be elders of the new? Oh, because you want to work in the church, huh? You see that bucket? And you see the broom? I'm showing you, that's your job for a season. And I'll let you know how long that season is. Oh, but you want to preach? Oh, let me get Peter. Hold on. I know Peter was the one. Peter stood up, and I know Peter walked around. He must have saved, and he's, you know, he is bishop, and he was the apostle. But Peter had a tendency to govern the church like this. You said the Lord said what? You're called to do what? Before you're called to do anything, see that bucket? You see the broom? That's your office right now. You don't like my tone. Well, you ain't hearing right, so let's just do away with that ear. Can you imagine Peter in today's church? Don't worry. Watch this. I want you to understand who Jesus selected to be the disciples. Peter, knucklehead, full of so much zeal, didn't use wisdom until after Jesus came. But then he also had a physician. Jesus said, you know what? I got Peter with me. I need to find me someone that can sew some things up because, you know, Peter has a tendency to be walking around with this sword every time. Jesus, they look at you funny. Why you heal them? They were dead. What? Man, every time I do something for you, you get mad at me. So he had to bring a physician around probably, right? I think Peter was the one that was quick to always draw the sword out of everybody. You look at him funny? Right? Let Peter be in the church today. Let Peter say, okay, those of you that are called to the ministry, rise. Everybody stand up. Yeah, you're called. I'm calling you to the back. We're going to clean up this back area back here. We're going to clean up the front over here because you called to the ministry. You stood up in the presence of the Lord. Why are you sitting down? No, this ain't no taking it back. This ain't no backsies. I want you to think about it. I told you if I was to write the Bible, y'all probably read it. Mm-hmm. I know it. My son tells me that. I don't read it. But every time you tell me something about the Bible, I don't read it like that. But I see what you're saying. I don't understand what it says. But I get it now. Good. Pick it up and read it. He'll give it to you the same way. Oh, well. Right? What if we had the elders of the old and the new? You think they care about all the PowerPoints and lyrics? Lord, don't even get me started on that. AC, chairs, chairs. Restrooms. Restrooms. Wait, hold up. He said, that's the bucket. Restrooms. Let one of y'all get up in the middle of the sermon like this. Look at you. You ain't number one. Sit down. I pray for an enlarged bladder for you to hold. Now listen to what I have to say. I know we've been on 3 hours. That's without praise and worship. Can you imagine? Oh, Lord. Can you imagine? Whew. See, y'all made me lose train of thought. Lord. I'm going to close. I'll finish this up next Wednesday, I think. Can we go back to the old ways? I'm going to read a prayer. Y'all know who St. Patrick is? It's on his shield. On the shield that he carries. Watch this. Let me preface this. The early Christian, the Celtic Christians, walked in amazing supernatural demonstrations. You know why? They believed not only in the word, the crucifixion, the suffering, and the abandonment faith for Christ only. They didn't live for themselves. They lived for Christ. Watch this. You ever ran into somebody like that? I didn't think so. Be Christ this day, my strong protector, against poison and burning, against drowning and wounding, through reward wide and plenty, Christ beside me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ to the right of me, Christ to the left of me, Christ in my lying down, my sitting and my rising, Christ of all who know me, Christ on tongue of all who meet me, Christ in eye of all who see me, Christ in ear of all who hear me. The early Celtic Christians recited this prayer every single day. Not for power, not for glory, but to remind them it's all about Christ. It's all about Christ. It's not about how many followers you have. It's not how big your church is, how big your offerings are, how big of Mercedes you have, what have you. It's always Christ-centered. Do you understand? There's where we need to be. We need to be in that place where we need the paths of the old for today. Let him direct our paths so that we can walk in it and bring back the manifest presence of God in the church, where that is the focal point, is his presence in Christ only. Amen? That's what we need. Do you agree? Do we need Christ to come back in a different way? We need Christ to come in such a way of his demonstration and love that the power of God is demonstrated. So that when people come in and they have ailments in their body, guess what happens? Healed. Someone has demons, delivered. Bring a dead person, they're raised from the dead. That was the path of the ancient way of the church. We need that again. How many want that? Not for the signs and wonders, but his presence so present. Amen? That when you walk, even your shadow will heal people. So when they turn around, who healed me? Christ, the anointed one. Not me. When you see my hands, you should see Christ's hand. So I've been praying, God, when I extend my hand, let them see your pierced hands. When I walk, let them see the feet that have been pierced. Well, when I do what I do, let them see you, not me. Let it be about you only. That's what we need today. Amen? All right, you have your envelopes with you, right? You have your envelopes. And I'll finish this next week. There's still quite a few scriptures I want to go over. But next Wednesday, I'll go over it. This Sunday, I will be ministering. You can stop the recording now. Thank you. This